Welcome to Payment Matters. I'm your host, Jeff Lynn. Thanks for tuning in today. On the show, we talk about the ever-changing landscape of healthcare payments and the impacts of healthcare payers, providers, and consumers. You can follow the conversation on Twitter at hashtag Payment Matters and follow me at Jeff B. Lynn. My guest for today's episode is John Bass. John is the founder and CEO of Hash Health, a venture studio driving innovation and collaboration in healthcare. John is an internationally recognized author and speaker on value-based care, blockchain, and decentralized healthcare technology. He is the co-author of the HIMSS published book, Blockchain and Healthcare, Innovations That Empower Patients, Connect Professionals, and Improve Care. John, really glad to have you here today. Maybe for the audience here, just a quick description about yourself and a little bit more about your company.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, thanks so much for having me on. This is great. I'm a fan of what you're doing. And I've got a background in healthcare startups dating back to the dot-com days. And so if you look back at my career, the kind of theme has been around how do we use technology to drive collaboration and how do we work together to solve shared problems? And there's no shortage of those in the healthcare space. And so it's probably taken a lot of years off my life, but that theme of collaboration in healthcare has been kind of what I've focused on. And Hash Health, as you mentioned, is a venture studio. And that may be a new term for some of your listeners, but a venture studio is a company that creates new startups. And we do that using a process of bringing resources and expertise and partnerships to the beginning of the discovery and delivery process. And so by the time we spin out a new company, we do everything we can to prove that that has product market fit. You know, we prove we've got an engineering team who has built the product, you know, that's been kind of born out of one of our ideas. Usually these ideas are coming out of our team, our organization. We go out and recruit customers. And so by the time we spin something out, not only do we have a product, but we have customers for that product. We know our business model because we've got validation from those customers that they will use the product and pay for it. We've gone out and recruited a co-founder or a co-founding company. Sometimes it's a group of companies who do a joint venture with us. And we've got investors who are excited to help support the commercialization of that new organization. And so that's what a venture studio does, and that's what our process that kind of sits underneath the venture studio does. Our studio focuses specifically on these themes of collaboration in healthcare. So how can we use technology to bring together enterprises and communities around shared opportunities and shared problems? And specifically, we're known at Hashed Health for our expertise in the use of blockchain and Web3 technologies as enablers of new business models in healthcare. So that's a little bit more about me and what we do at Hashed.
So there's been a lot of talk about blockchain and what's out there, especially, you know, the talk about crypto out there. Maybe helpful for us to paint some realities on this, but like, what do you think actually can be accomplished? What's realistic here? Because is it going to solve all ills in healthcare, or are there specific segments or areas where I think Hash Health and what you're doing as a venture studio, what solutions or kind of use cases are kind of realistic to be solved?
Yeah. Well, you're right. There is a lot of hype, and that hype comes in cycles. I think we're probably about to enter a new cycle of that around crypto and blockchain and Web3 and all these kind of things, terms people throw around. And it's early, but obviously Hashed and a lot of other people are making big bets on the power of this technology to solve a lot of these big problems in healthcare. And healthcare is kind of natively a team sport, right? I mean, treating patients and the supply chain and you know, benefits and insurance and payments and all these things, these are multi-party, multi-system processes. Identity is another example. And so, you know, we think at Hash that the best way to solve these problems is through kind of bringing together networks of organizations or communities who have shared incentives and want to use this concept of a distributed ledger or a blockchain as a shared source of truth in a way to align the incentives and create trust and transparency amongst the organizations who are all kind of solving a shared problem together. So it's kind of these utility business models. So these are really hard business models to commercialize. It takes time, and it takes a group of enterprises that are all willing to and want to work together to solve a problem. And there's a lot of change management. There's a lot of getting people to think in new ways. And it makes me think of when we started the .com company I mentioned, which was a B2B platform in 99, you know, early 2000s. You know, the hard part back then was not really the technology. It was getting health systems and suppliers in that use case, in that example, to work together in new ways. That change management, that fear of losing control was the big limiting factor in terms of the innovation we were doing back then. And so it's taking some time, and some people are frustrated. And a lot of the friends and partners that we had in the early days of Hash in 2016, 2017 aren't really around anymore because they weren't set up to evolve with the market and to kind of have patient capital and make this kind of long bet. But, you know, this idea of collaboration and this idea of creating utilities and using technology to create trust and transparency and alignment across networks of people who care about solving the same problem is not, there's no doubt that that's directionally correct. And we're starting to see real builders doing things and introducing new business models that are uniquely enabled by the use of this technology. And that's what's different from previous cycles. And that's why Hashed and others are investing more and more heavily in the commercialization of these new companies and these new business models. And so there's some examples that you can point to kind of companies out there that are in production and solving problems. Professional Credentials Exchange, which is a portfolio company of ours, is doing something in credentialing and kind of directory management, which is meaningful and real and growing and increasing in value. There's organizations in the world that are doing a lot of work around supply chain transparency and security, data management, data pedigree, data security. These are kind of some of the areas where there's low-hanging fruit. And you're seeing interesting new business models and mature technologies that are scaling. Currently the aperture for use cases is pretty narrow, but you're seeing a lot of maturation and a lot of really smart teams working on Web3 right now. And if you pay attention, you'll notice that a lot of the smartest people in the United States and abroad are focused on Web3. And it's just a matter of time before these Web3 concepts, crypto, DAOs, NFTs, metaverse concepts come to healthcare. You're going to see a lot of kind of new types of data markets, new types of data exchanges, new types of multi-party business process automation, new types of programmable value transfer concepts coming to the healthcare and the pharma and life sciences world. And so that's where we're placing our bets, and I think that's where you're going to see more and more people placing bets over the next few years.
Maybe for our audience who, you know, may have some familiarity with blockchain, do you mind just doing like a high-level summary? Like, what's Web3, and how is that different or the same as it relates to blockchain?
Yeah, you know, blockchain is started back, you know, people, the concept of a blockchain started with Bitcoin back in like 2009, basically, as a way to track and prove the ownership of a digital asset. In that case, it was Bitcoin. And so, you know, Bitcoin is just a digital asset. It's a digital asset that represents a cryptocurrency. And the blockchain is the system that allows you to mathematically guarantee who owns that digital asset. And so that's kind of the big problem that the blockchain solved, is being able to prove who owns a digital asset. And so then came along Ethereum in about 2014 or so, that started to expand what the definition of a digital asset could be and started to introduce programmable a development platform on top of a blockchain. So you can start to program the movement of digital assets, and you can start to broaden the definition of what a digital asset is beyond just cryptocurrency, beyond just Bitcoin. And so it was really Ethereum that unleashed this this wave of innovation that again goes in cycles, but has continued to kind of increase in pace over the last several years. And so the latest kind of wave of blockchain enthusiasm has come through this Web3 movement. And Web3 is kind of this roll up of a bunch of new, let's call them business models or primitives that are born out of blockchain and distributed ledger technologies. And so these things include things like non-fungible tokens, which are currently kind of associated with art, just like originally blockchain was associated with Bitcoin. Well, the first real use case for NFTs is digital art or digital collectibles. But it's really just a file or a web page or a JPEG that is provably owned by someone, but it's digital. And so the new thing here is that you can digitally prove ownership of a digital artifact. You can mathematically prove ownership of a digital artifact. So that's what's interesting about NFTs. You also have in kind of Web3, you have this concept of DAOs, decentralized autonomous organizations. So Bitcoin is a DAO. You know, there's no Bitcoin company. It is a decentralized network of a community of people who care about the movement of this digital asset called Bitcoin. And there's a governance system, and the community governs what happens with the Bitcoin network. And so this a DAO is a decentralized community of individuals or companies that all care about a common asset and share a common bank account. And so that's an interesting concept around creating these DAOs or these communities of individuals or organizations who are aligned around solving a problem and share a common bank account. But there's no centralized organization. It's governed by the community itself. And so we're working on a variety of different interesting kind of initiatives in that area. So in Web3, you got DAOs, you have NFTs, and you also have kind of this emerging concept of the metaverse. And, you know, in some ways, we're already living in the metaverse. In COVID, we all went to work on Zoom, which in some people's mind is the metaverse. You're going to work virtually. You're going to work on your computer instead of going into an office. Telemedicine is kind of a first step into the metaverse. So for people in healthcare who dismiss the metaverse as something that's just for gamers or kind of far off into the future, you're kind of already there in some ways. And you're only, and coming out of COVID, we're just accelerating faster and faster into the metaverse. So in the metaverse, being able to prove ownership of certain assets and move money programmatically around certain rules that are perhaps governed by a central authority, but also perhaps governed by a community. These are really interesting concepts and real enablers for new business models in healthcare. So hopefully that isn't overly nerdy, but helps people understand some history and some definitions around blockchain and around what Web3 is and maybe in the near future.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Payment Matters. I'm joined by John Bass of Hash Health, and we're really discussing innovation in healthcare. I want to kind of double click on what you just said about communities and the networks that are being built. You know, one of the things that, similar to you and I, we spent a lot of time in healthcare, and a lot of this is, you know, I think there's a lot of companies, a lot of organizations where their data is their data. And many companies have monetized that. And it's that's their value of the company is based off of the data that they store. How do you overcome these disparate, I call it data silos, for lack of a better term here, and with the objective of creating that community, creating these networks where there's kind of broader call it sharing or transparency and just kind of making sure that there's a broader common good here. How do you reconcile that between, you know, how a company needs to, you know, sustain itself from a financial perspective?
Yeah, that's such a good question and such a limiter in terms of how fast this space moves. Again, in some ways, it's very similar to the introduction of the internet back in the 90s, early 2000s, in kind of, for example, these B2B platforms that were asking us to move information around in new ways. You know, the internet's really good at moving data around. And so the change management that had to go along with enterprise adoption of things like our company Global Healthcare Exchange, which was moving orders between providers and suppliers in the early days, was, you know, getting the network effects going on that company really hard, because there was a hesitancy to share data, because there was a hesitancy to people would lose leverage over their counterparties. But now that's just the way business is done, because it's more efficient and effective and resilient than paper and faxes and things like that. And so we're at the beginning of a change. And in order to solve a lot of the big problems in healthcare, we've got to start creating technologies that enable the sharing of information and incentivize the sharing of information, and make sure that the true owners of that information, the true curators of that information, are empowered, and that those systems are, improving the industry and not improving certain legacy members of the industry. So there are a lot of use cases where that's simply not feasible yet, but there are certain use cases where there's no real benefit, especially to the peers, like the endpoints in the network, to sharing that information. So, you know, one example is, I mentioned Professional Credentials Exchange. Right now, there is a lot of redundant curation work that's happening in the industry. Every hospital, every payer, is spending lots and lots of time, sometimes 4 to 6 months, credentialing a physician, and they're losing lots of revenue during that process, and they have to do it every 2 years, they have to redo it, and it's all analog. And so it makes a lot of sense from a lot of different perspectives to enable ways to mathematically prove the pedigree of that data, so you can prove that it's coming from the primary source by using a distributed ledger. And in doing so, you can enable a new business model, which is a data market. And so people who are doing that curation work or spending the time to credential a physician or a practitioner, well, it's very arguable that they should get rewarded for that curation, because it takes a lot of time and effort to do an employment history or to do a malpractice investigation or something like that. And so that's one instance where it may make sense to have a data exchange or a data market, where you can create value for an organization off a data resource that's sitting idle in a data center currently. So that curation, you know, a lot of these kind of future marketplaces like ProCredex and others are incentivizing the sharing of curated information across a community of people who want that information, and they're willing to pay for it, because it's a lot better to do that than to spend your own team's 4 to 6 months doing that work on top of the work that was just done down the street. And so being able to share that type of credentialing or directory data, for example, you know, the No Surprises Act for payers is another example that's similar. Directory management. These are all examples where if we work together as a community, it makes a lot more sense than the way it's being done today, which is every organization, it's every CFO for him or herself, and every organization does the same curation work on top of every other organization. So that's just one example. You know, I think, again, supply chain is another one, and there are others that we're working on for next year that you'll hear about soon, where it just makes sense to work as a community, and there are no real inherent competitive, there's no real competitive value that comes from doing it yourself. And so we're working really hard to find those early use cases and use those as a wedge for adoption. And if you do, we feel like that builds an important bridge to the future.
This is we could probably spend hours talking about this, but one of the last questions I want to ask you is, like, I heard the word evolve a couple times here, and it's great to see these like Procredix and a couple other companies you highlighted, that there's caught glimmers of hope in terms of kind of streamlining and reducing the costs, especially the administrative costs in healthcare. Do you think there's an opportunity for a revolution using blockchain/Web3 technology? Like, where do you see that happening? Or is that even a possibility?
That's the dream. You know, in the early days, you know, all people could talk about in the early days of blockchain in healthcare when we started Hashed, you know, all people want to talk about was like medical records on the blockchain and cryptocurrencies in healthcare. And obviously that's not real yet. And these are tools. And what we need to be talking about are problems, right? And innovative ways to solve problems. Or I like to talk about opportunities. But I think the opportunity, the dreamy opportunities that we love to think about and that we kind of wake up thinking about and that are still a little bit down the road, but we can see how they're coming, and it's just a matter of time, is the introduction of consumer-focused solutions leveraging these characteristics of blockchains around ownership, around programmable value transfer, around self-sovereign data, and so things like how to empower individuals with their information and then allow them to open and close the door to that information as they move through their lives. Same thing for physicians, their medical professional identity and reputation. So if you kind of play these concepts out around self-sovereign identity, around programmable value transfer, around these Web3 concepts that I mentioned around how you organize individuals and communities with shared resources, trust, and transparency, those are brought together. Those are very disruptive and exciting concepts that I think have the potential to truly move the needle on the big problem in healthcare, which is cost, and introduce more rational marketplaces, introduce more responsible, secure ways of dealing with sensitive data, and really clean up a lot of the, extractive kind of business models, pipeline business models that exist today. So I think there is disruption coming, what we think about a lot of our time thinking about is how do we build bridges to these opportunities. It's not about disintermediation. I don't really believe in disintermediation, but I do think that a lot of the value chains in healthcare could shift to more efficient, more transparent, more rational and efficient value chains in the future. And I think that's the key to really driving down a lot of the cost, both in terms of kind of rational marketplaces and also administrative burden in the healthcare market today.
John, like I said, that this is such an interesting space here, and I know it's moving fast, and I know you're on the forefront of this. And for all the listeners today, these are the Payment Matters we're tackling today, and thank you to my guest, John Bass, for joining me. Where can our listeners go to learn more about you and your company?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I love the work that we're doing, and I love the vision, and I appreciate you giving me a chance to talk about it. I hope it wasn't too much for your audience, but these are exciting concepts that I think are coming. And so I'm excited to help share my view, which is one view of many on them. More information, of course, on our website, which is hashed.com, H-A-S-H-E-D, health.com. Or I'm on Twitter at John G. Bass or at hashed.health and on LinkedIn as well.
That's great. And thank you once again for joining me today. And thank you to all of you for listening in. Remember that you can listen to this episode weekdays at 4:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 8:30 p.m. Eastern. You can also listen to this on Apple Podcasts and Google Play Music, or just say, Alexa, play Healthcare Now Radio. If you have a comment about the episode of the show, follow hashtag Payment Matters or connect with me on Twitter at Jeff B. Lynn. Learn more about the show at healthcarenowradio.com or instamed.com. Until next time, I'm Jeff Lynn.